The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh new smart talk all day. It is a Tuesday, the 18th of October, 2022. That means it's a World News Tuesday with Mark Palmer, and Mark Palmer is somewhere in the world trying to connect to us now through the Zoom room. Producers, Mr. Palmer, has he joined us yet? No problem. Okay. Hopefully he will be here soon. As we get the show started today, I do have a guest in studio. Before we get to our guest, I got a couple of notices. I saw this flyer floating around the interwebs, the internet, and I thought this is important. The Department of Environmental Health Services is running the National Beautification Program. This flyer is about the bulk waste removal project, and they are focusing right now on, well, October 21st through 30th is pickup for Centerville, Fort Charlotte, Baines, and Grantstown, right? That's October 21st through the 30th, and the help desk number is 302-5240. 302-5240. I just want to say to the team to put together that flyer, it is a little confusing, right? I don't know. I know that it indicates that the pickup for these areas, Centerville, Fort Charlotte, Baines, and Grantstown, is October 21st through 30th. But higher up on the flyer, it lists the date October 31st through November 6th. So if you're in Centerville, Fort Charlotte, Baines, and Grantstown, or surrounding areas, or if you're not, but you got bulk waste you need removed, call 302-5240. That's 302-5240 to figure out what you're going to do with this bulk waste. But let me show you all a why before, like, you know, your refrigerator starts getting wonky. You know it's time to replace it. It's not completely kaput or destroyed. Find repairmen. Find people that repair appliances. They may be able to salvage your bulk waste and upcycle, recycle, repurpose, reuse. It's a great program. Okay, another small note. I was supposed to talk about this yesterday. Didn't quite get to it. I'm glad I am talking about it today. So on Sunday, there was the annual Baptist Parade. Now, I know a lot of y'all are missing Nahajah Black right now because Nahajah Black did the best Baptist Parade. She better than Joan Rivers. Watch show and recap. Nahajah Black, we miss you. And you know,
Battle of the Hats.
Oh yes, the Battles of the Hats. That is, I mean, look here, young ladies, young men, if you want to know what a woman's supposed to dress like when you go into church, you got to check them out. Anyway, I want to make this commentary, and in no way am I trying to diminish the Baptist community at all, okay? I want you all to hear this. I got some critique here. I am not attacking the Baptist church, but I have to say this. Who is in charge of traffic enforcement in the Baptist parade? Who is in charge? How you could have thousands of people on the street and not have a real traffic management plan. Are you willing to give you all the space? Baptist Church is one of the biggest churches in the Bahamas by population, by number, congregation number size. You're one of the largest. So I ain't fighting you on it, right? But I'm begging you, next year when you have the Baptist parade, first of all, you need to broadcast the route on every radio station. You see all them nice fancy billboards we have up now that we're going to use for Marco Alert? Like, I'm going to just take it over and say, if you're running, run the Baptist parade route on the billboards, please. Right? There's just too much obstruction, a lack of movement across the island on Sunday afternoon because people were not aware of the route of the march. Now, let's talk about this. See, I'm not a Baptist. Mind you, if Ona Bailey and Reverend Simeon Hall and New Covenant Baptist Church tell me come to church tonight, I go to church tonight, you know. But I'm not a Baptist. I don't have to know. I'm not obligated to know when the parade is and what the route is. That's y'all job to tell us. So we could not inconvenience y'all on your march. And so I had some other hard questions here, you know, like I was going to ask the question, should any one religious group be allowed to cause confusion and so much at it? But really what I'm saying is, if we are going to put the church in this place of prominence in our country, then let's treat it as such. And if these events are so important and special, let's have a traffic protocol for these events. Mm-hmm. The question is, should the organizer of the event be required or mandated to pay for off-duty police officers to man the routes and ensure the smooth flow of traffic? Should the organizers be responsible for broadcasting the times and the routes? Should you all just have to pay a small fee for that to happen? Mm-hmm. Right? See, this one is tricky because not all marches are as large as this one. And mind you, the Anglican Patronals, they get nice fellowship and followship. But I'm not sure if it's as large as the Baptist. These are things we need to know. Now, to the motoring public, here's what I'm going to need you to know. Why would you think that it's possible for you to turn into the flow of the parade to go where you're going? And since you cannot go in that direction, why would you block up the rest of the traffic that has the oppy to move through the parade? Why would you block us up because you can't turn into the parade? I'm sure several of y'all know what I'm talking about because that was several of y'all on the road on Sunday. We're going to talk about this very quickly. Why are ATVs? See, an ATV is not a scooter. A scooter got two wheels, maybe four if it have training wheels, but an ATV is a four-wheeler. Why would four-wheelers be traveling in the opposite lane of traffic, trying to duck miles of traffic and think that's okay? Let me tell you why it's a problem. Because you think it's okay when it's just you on your ATV endangering the lives of hundreds of Bahamians. But when there are tourists involved, what you all start to do is you start to tell the tourists they could turn right on red and then attempt to stop the flow of traffic so they could do it. If you take care of the pennies, the pounds will take care of themselves. And another quick question, why are people who are pilot horses and carriages, why are y'all running red lights and stop signs? Is it because we don't have any real and substantive laws and enforcement around animal cruelty and animal protection? Is that why?
Platform.
Listen, there is something wrong out there on the roads. Trailers refusing to stop at red lights and stop signs refusing to give way at roundabouts. And when I say a trailer, I don't mean the trailer that the gardeners have on the back of his little car because he, you know, hook up a little contract with his MP. No, I'm talking about 18-wheelers, professional, commercial, corporate vehicles carrying heavy loads and dangerous loads like gas, like fuel. Why would you think you don't have to give way at a red light or roundabout? There's something seriously wrong in this town. You may not be able to see it, but there are those of us who can see it. Bully culture has taken root across the country in every aspect, from the top straight down. We see it from our government, our prime minister, to our press secretary, straight down. Anyway, producers, Mr. Palmer in the Zoom room, this is great. Let me get to this caller very quickly. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock. Good morning, caller. All right, we lost you. Not a problem. Let me just read these two texts, and I'm going to get to you, Mr. Palm. Good morning. Is the Youth March this Sunday? You're absolutely right. It is October. It is Youth Month. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to have to go and find the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture's Facebook page because they don't have their own dedicated portal or page on the government website, right? I'm going to have to find it. But if there is a youth march, let me tell you this. They could spend a lot more effort publicizing it.
And promoting it.
Anyways, last text, government should consult with industries before making decisions, same way they did not consult with the trucking industry of how many truckers will be out of a job come January because they don't have a CDL, as it's supposed to be a CBL license, with its bogus training cost for something truckers was doing all their lives. Have to be a money scam on them. They're a texter. Let me show you something. In all manner of things, I love this text and I hate it at the same time. I love it because I was just talking about bullying. And you went sort of, kind of, I mean, this is, anyway. Would you mean that the government had to consult with the truckers to implement regulations in the trucking industry? See, if it was any other matter, like if it was a matter of taxation, right? But you upset because the government is forcing the industry to regularize itself? Just because you've been driving a truck all your life don't mean that you qualify to drive a truck? Because half the... I was going to say half the truck drivers I interact with, but I'm going to be fair. A good portion of the truck drivers I interact with going to tell me live, Miss Green, why I have to stop at the stop sign. I is the bigger vehicle. Or better yet, be there then. Be there and see what can happen. Of course you all need a CBL, CDL license. You mean bogus training. You all refuse to stop. I would like to thank you, Texter, for sending this text. It may not have been what you intended, but it leads to my point. Texter goes on to say, for what trailer operators are paying for a training course for something they already know, you can't blame them for feeling they own the traffic light. Because they have to pay money to get a special commercial or corporate license to drive heavy equipment, I can't blame them for feeling that they own the light, Texter? Dear Texter, I just want you to know two things. I am going to screenshot these texts for the purposes of continuing this discussion at another time. If you would like to be a part of this discussion, let me know and I will also take down your number so I could contact you. But we need to talk about that at another time. I got guests in the studio. Dear Texter, what a exciting text you sent me, but I can't spend more time on that. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Hey, Aaron, how are you? Good morning to you.
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Calling in from the island of Eleuthera, the wonderful island of Eleuthera, Rock Sound. And you'll be pleased to know no traffic issues down here. So maybe you might want to relocate.
I'm going to need you. I'm going to need you to drive up to James Siston because I heard they have a persistent mosquito traffic problem up there. But this is good to know.
They have all those little sleeping policemen up there, so you can watch out so you don't mash up your suspension.
Oh, this is good. Yeah, this is good. So, Mr. Palmer, joining us in studio this morning is Ms. Alexis DeMarco from the organization, or the Bahamas Organization of LGBTI Affairs. Mm-hmm. And last week, the organization hosted its third annual LGBTI Pride Week. And Ms. DeMarco is joining us in studio to tell us a bit about what happened, the theme, what happened, and then I have some questions for her. And I think we're going to maybe open it up to the audience. One of our regular listeners and callers, Pauper, longtime community advocate, had asked me a long time ago to go through some of the definitions, LGBTQIA definitions from the community to give listeners and people who are sort of listening to conversations more information so they can develop better context for what it is that they are hearing. So good morning, Mr. Marco.
Good morning, Erin.
Please introduce yourself to the people. Tell us.
Well, my name is Alexis DeMarco. I'm a human rights defender here for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. My focus is on vulnerable communities with the focus of LGBTI communities in the Bahamas, and I'm also a regional coordinator for UC Trans, which is the United Caribbean Trans Persons Network, where we are CARICOM countries of trans citizens and non-binary citizens who advocate for the wealth and health and well-being of trans citizens within the Caribbean region.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the theme for this year's, what were the dates for this year's event? Like, you still got two more days left in the week?
Today is actually the last day, the big bang. So we started off last week with our opening ceremonies where we talked about our theme and we talked about exactly what is the reason for the theme, ending violence against LGBTI citizens here in the Bahamas. And then we went into our sessions of violence. We started to discuss unpacking violence. What is violence? What does violence look like to citizens here in our country, not only of LGBTI communities, but on a total whole? Our poetry, we had the Juju Collection, which was very, very good. They had a discussion on do all queer people of faith think alike, which was a very interesting topic.
Cavante Cash, is one of the moderators for that group. And we say thank you to Cavante Cash for coming back home. She could have left us.
Yeah, she could have stayed where she was.
Been a part of that sort of brain drain, but she came back to help build the Bahamas.
And that was a very good, the Juju Collection. They gave us some great information, and it was other persons on our panel who, we had Muslim people from the Muslim faith, the Christian faith, non-denominational, Seventh-day Adventists, persons who have left the faith. And we were talking about LGBTI persons' experience dealing with their faith, because we do acknowledge that LGBTI people are people of faith, too. And it's a personal journey. So that was great.
Let's talk about that for a second, if you don't mind, because that, in terms of my advocacy, that was a big sort of space to understand, right? Mm-hmm. It was important for advocates to understand that any that engaged the church and church doctrine had to be sort of rooted in the understanding that the vast majority of Bahamians that identified as LGBTI also identified as Christian. Mm-hmm. And that they were, it became apparent that that community was intolerant to any advocacy that diminished the role of the church or the importance of the church in society as a whole. Mm-hmm. You know, so that I think that was very important to understand as an advocate, you know, that the average gay person identifies as Christian and has no desire to be separated from the Christian church.
Correct.
You know, it was important for advocates to understand that, and then important to make that known in the conversation, because a number of religious leaders felt like there was an attempt to create a separation, when in fact it was an attempt to create more cohesion.
Right. There's a lot of intersectionality as it relates to communities. So, yeah, that was a very good one for us. And then under the Juju Collection, there was also the poetry, where the spoken word, through spoken word, persons were able to share their feelings through spoken word as a tool of advocacy. And that was also done through the Juju Collective, which was done by Ms. Catwright. I think very powerful. All of these things, you can go back on our Facebook page, and it's Pride Bahamas on Facebook, and you can actually see the sessions that was recorded. Then we went into our Pride Bahamas health session, which was very good, with Dr. Narad Morgan. He's always been an ally of the community, ensuring that our community has access to health. And that's the work that I do on the ground with the DeMarco organization. We create health links for persons within vulnerable communities, inclusive of LGBTI community. And out of that, we launched our self-testing for persons in the community. You can now test yourself for HIV. So we introduced and piloted that program of self-testing during our health session of Pride Bahamas Week. Then we talked about mental health. Mental health is very important for our people. It's not just going to Miami and say, oh, just take a break. No, we actually went in with two of our experts, Dr. Knowles, who ensured that we understood what mental health, and he says there's no health without mental health. And for us, it was very important to break down the depression, the anxiety, fear, bullying. He talked about and he unpacked all of those types of mental health violence that mm-hmm. people and citizens here in the Bahamas experience. And those persons who experience at a very young age the onset of displacement and the cycle of displacement by being thrown out of their home based on their perceived sexual orientation or their gender identity, they're ostracized at a very young age from their home and from their family. So we unpack that level of violence.
Mm-hmm. And then, even before, like you say, the process of displacement, because mm-hmm. even before they are abandoned, right, like underage and allowed to leave home, correct. Which is abandonment, or made to feel that they can no longer stay, mm-hmm. or you know, being physically removed from the home,
correct.
Just the sense of being ostracized in the family structure. Mm-hmm. Like, you're there, you know, you have some place to sleep, you know, you could catch a piece of food to eat or to bathe, but you feel like you're not being tolerated, you
correct.
Know, and they don't want you there. And for very young people, they can feel it, but it's very difficult to process it.
Correct. Right. And talking about that, we were able to unpack. This is where our safe house discussion came in. And that's what birthed the safe house. Many parents began to throw their children to the street at a very young age. And we would take food to Junkanoo Beach and leave it there. And then when we come back the next morning, we know, okay, they're not there. So we started mapping the area. And we now know that that area is where most persons would, who are homeless within our community, would find refuge. Or they would go to couches, it's called sofa surfing, these house, sleep on the couch or whatever. And that's their way of getting access to shelter, food, and clothing. Mm-hmm. So as a community, we pull together to try to eliminate these things. And that's what birthed our safe house.
And there's a vulnerability to violence in that sofa surfing space.
Correct.
Because you have no control over the security of that space.
Correct.
You don't determine who can come in it.
Correct.
And who must leave. And so you're vulnerable to sexual advances, to sexual coercion. Mm-hmm. You're vulnerable to the suggestion that you somehow have to pay your way
in order to stay.
Right, with sex or to service friends
correct.
Of the property owner. And it can become a psychological, you can experience not just physical and sexual violence in those spaces, but psychological violence
correct.
Before an offense has even occurred.
Occurred to you, yeah. So that was something that we mapped, and we have data that we're presenting to social services to show how many displaced young people mm-hmm. Find themselves in this situation based on their perceived or known sexual orientation or gender identity. So we went into Rick Curry, who was very good, from the Seahorse Institute, who unpacked LGBTQ women violence. And his pronoun is they, he unpacked that to the sex to show that there's different types of violence that people experience, especially those persons who are of trans and intersex experience. And especially with intersex children who are born, they experience violence at birth because parents decide, I want a girl child, so remove the extra. I want a boy child, remove the extra. Not knowing that on the onset of their birth, they are placed at violence, intersex children. So we began to unpack that and the trans community and the access, lack of access to healthcare, all of these things in a mental component. So we were able to unpack a lot of stuff during our session so far.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then Saturday was the Big Bang, the show. Where
so it was it virtual and face-to-face?
Virtual and face-to-face. Persons could have attended. And thank you to the U.S. Embassy for allowing us the space at UB. Thank you to UB also.
The American Corner.
Yes, we had a little session there. You could have come there and be safe if you wanted to come out. Persons were there to be able to assist our individuals who wanted. And then we had our opening at UB. We want to thank the University of the Bahamas on helping us take the lead as far as a tertiary education institution to ensure that inclusive policies are reflected in their daily life. But yeah, like I was saying, Saturday was the Big Bang, the big show. We had a lot of persons came out to support, to watch our Bahamian entertainers entertain through the art of female impersonation, which was very, very good. As you know, that's what started my advocacy back in Freeport when I wanted to bring a drag show to Grand Bahama. And then I was battled by the Christian Council. At the time, the president was so big camp, and it was so good that we were able to have dialogue and conversation, and that show went on, and that's what birthed my advocacy here in the Commonwealth as it relates to entertainers having a space in the country. And at that time, back then, they used to have this show at the Crystal Palace with the Twin Brothers, and they had drag impersonators, foreign people coming in doing drag impersonating shows, but they wanted us, our own Bohemian entertainers, that we can't access Crystal Palace, or we can't have shows. And that's what birthed my advocacy as it relates to entertainment, Bahamian entertainers having a space. And it's grown so much over the years. So kudos to all our entertainers for the bravery, because that's a sign of visibility to come out as a Bahamian entertainer in the art of female impersonation. You see them on RuPaul. You see them all making waves internationally through different pageantry systems within the U.S. The Bahamas entertainers, they are really, really making a mark in that line. And I want to send a shout out and congratulations to them. Continue doing what you're doing. You're going to make it.
You want to call some names?
Well, we do have our Miss April Chanel. She's a Bahamian. Yeah. She came back down to give back to the show. Yeah. She performed. She won a current title called Miss Black Universe, one of the highest black pageants there is within the pageant sphere here in the awesome. U.S. of A. Yeah. So yeah. She has won and represented. There are numerous of Bahamians that have entered that pageant and have done very well.
Yeah, I saw a clip of a couple of Bahamians performing in a show abroad. It's almost as if like they went to a training camp, right? Mm-hmm, like they went to a conference, and then they were performing at the end of the conference. Now, Mr. Marco, a number of texts here.
Okay. But before we go to text, I just want to finish the segment we had that was very good, spiritual violence.
Yeah.
And this is a very important one. On Sunday, that we were able to unpack spiritual violence, and our speaker, Alexio Ballou, he broke it down to show what spiritual violence looks like to LGBTI communities and to people on the whole, not just within my community, but citizens here in the Caribbean and in the Bahamas. And if you would go back on our Facebook page and look at that segment of unpacking spiritual violence, we were able to see how some of our own religious leaders here caused spiritual violence against their congregations, against their members, but some of them don't know that they did it. So he went through and he called names and he said, these are people that he know and they've had this conversation, but they did that not knowing that it was called spiritual violence. A lot of people didn't know that even existed. So we were able to get into that part of it too when we talk about violence. And then we had a pool party. And now today is our media day and the final day of Pride Bahamas, where we sit and chat with the media and tell them exactly the activities for Pride Bahamas and where we're headed. It's definitely headed in the direction of creating policy and anti-discrimination policy that no Bahamian can be discriminated based on their sexual orientation or their gender identity.
I like how you said policy, right? Because wherever there are protections from discrimination on the basis of sex, there are protections for LGBTI people, right? Mm-hmm. And so the next step is to create policy
Correct.
That reflects that and enforces those protections for vulnerable people. Mm. All right, so I got some texts here, and we sort of move between the texts and the rest of the questions. I'm going to ask, why do you do Pride in October and not in June? like the sort of the global Pride Month.
Okay, so for us here in the Bahamas, the context is totally different. And we are a part of an organization of Caribbean Prides, and we support the other Prides around the world. So June is the month where Pride starts. It kicks off. So you would see the U.S. starting to raise the flag. You would see the U.S. doing stuff here in the Bahamas. And that's the time that we use to launch our theme for October. So for us, October is important is because we've already set our dates with other prides around the world, especially in the Caribbean region. We have Jamaica that has their pride. We have St. Lucia. We have Guyana. We have Barbados. So we're a part of this team. And instead of us having prides all the same time, we support each other as it relates to Pride Bahamas. And that's why we chose the month of October. We end the whole region with pride.
All right. Mark, you still with us?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking back, you know, Alexis was mentioning about female impersonation. You know, when I lived in England, they always had pantomimes at Christmas. The whole family would come to them. And the big thing on stage was the dame, you know, which was really a man impersonating a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in the audience would go, look behind you. And he would look the other way, you know, and no, the other way. And it was like a huge event where all the kids, the whole family would come to. So it was very much accepted, you know, I'd say very much mainstream part of that whole Christmas culture.
Mm-hmm. I would think, although we think family islands are more insular and sort of fundamentalist, I would think that it's even safe spaces on family islands for vulnerable people, like as individuals than in New Providence. Has there been a call for safe houses or specific services on family islands, I mean, outside of Grand Bahama, or are people, young people in particular, just sort of moving to New Providence to look for sort of, in, you know, they could be incognito in a larger space, and that's how they sort of develop safe space.
Right. So with safe space, we do have a second location in Grand Bahama that if somebody wants to come from Bimini, Andros, or
the Northern Islands,
we have an ally that we work with who would be willing to house those individuals on our behalf. And it's worked very well. And then they transition into a job. They help her out and they transition into a job at the work that she does. And then if they decide to move into Nassau, that's why we have our job placement program that we try to hook them up with jobs. And we have some good corporate sponsors that come and ensure that, hey, do you have persons that have charisma, flair that can sell? And they would call me and say, Alexis, can you bring this person for an interview to business growth?
Yeah.
So we've seen a vast change in community support, allyship. And I noticed that's what's making our movement what it is. We have to be allies. And all of us have the same thing. We don't want anybody to be discriminated here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Absolutely. I got a call, and I think we got to go to a break at some point. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do?
I am great, and good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Is that what do you consider pride? Is pride, when you say Pride Month, is pride as me, just say for instance, I'm using me hypothetically, Bahamian people would like to listen to me. If I practice that type of lifestyle, do you call, if I have a male, I walk downtown, like Bay Street, for example, holding his hand or hugging him up or kissing him up, is that pride? Do you consider that as being pride when you say Pride Month?
So Pride Month is, for the Bahamas' context, is a week of education and sensitization.
But no, I understand all of that, you know, ma'am, but I'm saying pride. You use the word, see, when you use the right word pride is something when you take dignity in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I walk down the road with a man holding his hand and kissing him up and loving him up, is that dignity or pride to you?
Yes.
Let's be realistic.
It's dignity to the individual. It's respect for the individual and their choice and their right to who they love. You know, we can't. The thing is, loving somebody or somebody loving you or not loving somebody at all. So what it is that I prefer someone to share to navigate this world with.
If you'd like.
So, well.
Yeah, I was saying I prefer to see somebody navigate this hard space, this hard place called the world, with somebody that truly loves them for them or who choose to love them, as opposed to somebody not loving them or they're not loving themselves. That's just
absolutely.
It.
This is why I wanted to talk about definitions, right? Because I think it's important when we talk about lifestyle, right, versus orientation. We talk about three things. We talk about orientation, preference, and behavior, right? So orientation is who you are attracted to. right? Behavior, like sexual orientation, is who you are attracted to romantically and sexually. Sexual behavior is sexual behavior, how you behave in regards to sex, intimacy, intercourse, right? Preference is who you prefer to have sex with. There are people who are queer, sexual orientation, right? Their sexual behavior is celibacy. Their preference is opposite sex. Because they've been socialized, despite their orientation, to have a dislike for the same sex. Those are three separate things. Now, when we talk about lifestyle, now a lot of people think that that's the appropriate language to use, and when they use it, they're not attempting to be offensive, but in its inappropriate or its misplaced usage is the offense. It is not a lifestyle. A lifestyle is I work and I sleep in the day and I'm up at night. That's a lifestyle, right? I like fast things. I like fast cars, fast motorbikes, fast boats. I like racing. I like sporting. That's a lifestyle. We know, you know, in the audience, people who were born with the sexual orientation of same-sex attraction. And their whole lives, they've been socialized to think that that is wrong. You all know some of these people. They are gay. You know they're gay. They've never been engaged in same-sex intimacy because they've been socialized to believe it is wrong. We know them, and sometimes in our experience with them, something happens, and they find a space where they could say, you know what, that's not who I am, and I want to be something different or do something different, and they are able to do that, and you aren't able to do that. But there's a difference between orientation, behavior, and lifestyle, right?
Definitely.
Your lifestyle could be
you like finer things in life.
Right? Your behavior could be, I only sleep with men who could provide me things.
Correct. That's lifestyle.
Right? Your orientation could be straight. So let's go into some more of these definitions. Asexual. I think this is an important one for the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Because in the same way that we sort of have misperceptions about orientation, lifestyle, behavior, we have misperceptions about asexual. Some people are born with no real sexual desire at all.
Correct.
Just none.
Right. And you'd find these persons really too through in trans communities. You'll find them very much in intersex communities, trans communities. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because it's more about identifying and aligning.
Right,
with
because they
them.
Have no sexual they have no sexual desire.
Mm-hmm.
It's about identity and aligning with who I think I am.
Correct.
Who I feel I am. Now, we got a caller. Producer, let's take this caller, then we have to go to a break. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. I am sorry we miss you, caller. We got to go to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to read some of these texts. Now, listen, when y'all sent these texts, did y'all think that I was going to read them out loud? I just asking, because some of these I can read out loud. You're on the clock with Darren Green. We'll be right back.
Hey, Lisa, AR Fidelity is free. Women Plus Seminar is back.
Oh, yes, it is. My ladies and I are ready to go.
Well, I heard it's open for men, too. So, you know, my crew and I will be there.
The highly anticipated free Fidelity Women will be held on Saturday, October 29th at the Bahama Convention Center as we explore solutions towards achieving financial freedom.
The Women's Plus Seminar is free and includes breakfast, 8 sessions, plus over $8,000 in prizes and surprises. Registration and breakfast begin at 8 a.m. with sessions from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Space is limited, so register now for free at fbbwomanplus.com.
No matter who I marry, no matter where my wife gives birth, our children will be Bahamian, like me.
If I marry a man who's not Bahamian, I have to give birth in the Bahamas, or my children won't even be Bahamian like I am.
That don't even make sense.
That's why we had the referendum in 2016.
But the people vote no.
The government can still do something about it with ordinary legislation, and it needs to develop an action plan and timeline to hold another referendum to deal with gender inequality in the Constitution.
Oh, we can make that happen.
Go to tiny.cc/nationality to support the campaign for equal nationality rights by Equality Bahamas.
And welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We are having a conversation that is uncomfortable for many, and we got to have it though. But this is important. It's important,
Erin,
because
one of the issues, I think, from somebody who isn't gay, say, you know, the myths and the misconceptions about the LGBTQ issues. And I think a lot of people just don't really realize, you know, that there are a lot of misconceptions out there, you know, like, I'm coming out only once, that LGBTQ individuals don't face discrimination in accessing healthcare, that it's a choice or a phase. You know, there are a lot of misconceptions and myths. So how do you address those? Because I think until you address those and bring those up, I think people really won't understand the community, you know, and it's an issue. I know Alexis mentioned, you know, mental health, which is, you know, that's something I wasn't really aware of. You know, I was aware of spiritual violence, physical, sexual violence, and, you know, the mental health, access to healthcare. I wasn't really aware that that was such a big issue, but clearly it is.
Yeah, it's an issue because
you address these myths and conceptions.
Yeah, I want to respond to the mental health part of the violence, especially when you find in institutions, if a person who is perceived to be, their sexual orientation is that of either gay or lesbian, and they deem their behavior in institutions uncontrollable. So young people are placed inside of Sandilands if they start to display these types of actions. And through our advocacy, we're able to now mitigate that, so persons won't be placed in Sandilands if they're in the children's home or if they're someone, they're sought out and they're deemed uncontrollable based on those perceived actions in state institutions here in the Bahamas. So that's where we had to flag where the violence starts for those young persons.
Oh, wow. So because children in state institutions, because they're identifying to be, then they are treated as if they have a mental deficiency.
Correct. Or they just deem them uncontrollable because they don't want to deal with that type of behavior probably within the institution.
I understand.
And they're placed either in Sandilands or the Boys and Girls Industrial School.
All right. Now, I got a text here from somebody. I'm going to read this one first. The text says, great show as usual, Ms. Green. Why do you do this on Tuesday? You realize I have a list of things I do that set my mood during work, and your show is on my checklist. Please don't have the show again. It's a text saying, I'm uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not rude. I mean, there's no, you know, violence or aggression. But it's a text who's saying, I'm uncomfortable with this conversation.
I think if they would know some of the challenges that LGBTI Bahamians face, for example, the books, an apartment, you cannot, if you are perceived or known as an LGBTI person, a landlord can tell you to get out of their apartment. So the Housing Act does not protect.
Right. So and we could sort of broaden it, mm-hmm. and not just focus on the LGBTI community. Mm-hmm. We could say that, listen, we need regulations in landlord tenant relations across the board, because it's not just the homosexual potential tenant that's being discriminated against, the Rastafarian tenant,
yes.
or the disabled yes. tenant, because that landlord doesn't want to...
Or a woman with a lot of children.
Right.
It's a lot of discrimination within our country, and this is what our week is about, highlighting these types of violences, these types of discriminations that persons face. All when right. you go to a hospital to access healthcare, if you're effeminate, or now I'm going to say that a lot has changed through sensitization of our nurses and our doctors on vulnerable communities, but accessing healthcare for them is a challenge just for common NCDs.
Yeah.
So you see a feminine person, it's a kiki, it's a kaka. I wouldn't want to access healthcare if you feel that I'm a joke. So these are some of the barriers and violence that persons experience just being citizens, even access to employment. A trans person has to work twice as hard to get employment. They can't just put on a baseball cap and a hat and say, oh, I want a job. But that's what the perception is. If you want this job, you would stop doing this. You would stop acting like this particular way. But as a access employment, education, minimum reach education, if someone is perceived to be LGBTI as a young person, they're not even deemed to be worthy to be a prefect.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that we're bringing and highlighting based on people's perceived or known sexual identity or orientation, they are discriminated against. Not just in LGBTI communities. There's the migrant community. There's the disabled community. There's the Rastafarian community. There are so many types and levels of discrimination, and we just want an inclusive Bahamas, and we're doing our work as far as our community is concerned to bridge that gap.
Absolutely. I got another text here. Aaron, please tell your guests that there is no place in the Bahamas for this foolishness. They need to repent. I'm going to respond to that. I sort of agree with you because the amount of foolishness the amount of foolishness we already have to deal with, eh? The things that we need to look at, right? And this is going to be a response to several of these texts here, because I am wondering, I had a text here, morning, sounds like you guys came up in the Catholic Church. We know what's going on there. The mere fact that a male or a female going behind the same sex is mental issues from you, see it at whatever age it's meant. Dear texter, I'm not a Catholic. I never came up in the Catholic Church. We're not going to disparage faith.
No.
I know what you think you're doing there, texter, but don't do that.
No.
Don't throw the Catholic Church in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to talk about the issue that the Catholic Church is having with the molestation of children under their care, we could talk about that. That's something separate, though, right? That's something separate. Another text. Morning, Miss Green. Every time I hear Mr. Marco, I know that's not what you said, texter. A bad memory erupts years ago. I thought I was in conversations with a lady, not knowing it was a man. Thank God a lesbian friend of mine told me before it went any further, which could have not been nice. Okay, so what the text is saying is, I was talking to somebody in Bahamian stance, right? Like I was trying to develop an intimate relationship, because that's what it means, right? It don't mean I wanted to date them. I was talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the person I was talking to is trans. You know, they're saying if it had gone any further, it could have been a problem. I want to take this for a second, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say this. You know, if the people who purport to be Christian or of religious faith would adhere to their own text in relation to intimacy and developing relationships with people, then your own text tells you that the way that you all traditionally develop intimate relationships is wrong and it is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you should get to know somebody very, very well before you engage any form of sexual intimacy with them.
And shouldn't be having sex without marriage?
Long before
according to your
right,
book?
Long before the actual act of intercourse. Right? if you were following the texts and the rules, then you wouldn't be as afraid as you are. Mm-hmm. But when you go to the club with the intention of getting drunk and finding something to take home with you, mm-hmm. then yes, you may be at risk with sleeping with someone you didn't know you were going to be sleeping with. But I don't think you really cared because you went to the club and got drunk to go find somebody to be intimate with. And so I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying you should sit and think about what it is you are saying. Oh boy, they just came in so quickly. Good morning. How can you say you're a Christian while practicing an ungodly depopulation heathen lifestyle that goes against God's God and the devil? I just want to say this. How could you say that you are a Christian and you run stop signs and red lights knowing that you could potentially kill somebody? How could you ignore somebody's God-given right of way so that you could get ahead or have an advantage? How y'all could be in the road hitting people's cars and then pretending like you ain't never hit anybody's car and calling yourself a Christian? How y'all could be in Nassau eating 3 and 4 meats, rowing about how you can't run your AC like you want to run it, but children living in the bush in Abaco, abandoned, left to take care of themselves? I'm not saying I better than you. I don't even think you're talking about, I'm not even saying you're talking about me, because you couldn't be talking about me. I just saying.
And again, we talk about Christian, there's so many faiths. Like, so when our constitution was created, the preamble, the interpretation, being a Christian nation, people take this out of total context. It is the interpretation, what they were explaining is that when Eddie Hanado said it, they were saying that you are free to practice any religion that you would like to. Right. Anything, you have that freedom of worship, that freedom to believe in whatever God you want to do. Mm-hmm. This is not a theocracy, and that's where people get it construed. That this is if this is where we want to go to Islam, that type of faith, then that's where y'all want to go. But right. for now, what it is that people have a right to choose, and y'all discriminating when the Jehovah's Witness knock on the door, everybody scatter and run. When the Rastafarian come, when the black gospel guys are there preaching, we have our own prejudices and our own discrimination. But this is the work that we're doing to be a more inclusive Bohemian society.
Absolutely. Producer, I see I got a call. Caller, if I get to you, you got 30 seconds. Sorry, caller. Mm-hmm. Okay, the text line is lit up. I got a text from earlier from this. Okay, I got a text from earlier. It says, Miss Green, watch your mouth. The training fee is bogus. I could be honest. When I saw that text, I thought it was going in a different direction. The training fee cannot be bogus because it is a professional certification that you are receiving. Right. Now, to be honest with you, Texter, I haven't seen the fee. I got to see it, right? I haven't seen it. But I'm going to suggest that it may seem exorbitant, but if it's a commercial certification that could be used in other jurisdictions, then maybe it's not or exorbitant as you think it is. Another text, morning, Aaron, they need to qualify for a CDL. They are too reckless and are a danger to everyone on the road. They are afraid to take a test because they won't pass. They are not smart enough. I don't know if they're not smart enough, but if they've never taken a test before, they don't know what it is they think they can't pass the test.
Right.
And I think they could pass the test except for the recklessness part sometimes. But that's a big, big thing, people. Another text. We don't have issues with migrants. We have an issue of illegality. No, you don't have an issue with illegality because there are all kinds of illegal, undocumented migrants here that are not of Haitian descent. And y'all ain't checking for them.
No.
We do have I'm not going to call it a crisis because there's a specific political term for that.
Mm-hmm.
We do have an issue globally with Haitian migration,
mm-hmm.
right? But y'all don't have a problem with illegality because plenty illegal legality going on in this. Good morning from the Guardian Radio. Give you this slot. This LGBTQ agenda was coming. This was planned to have a platform to promote this, but don't hate y'all, but carry on. Man, look here, I treat this show like public access to the beaches, right? I try to do a one gay show a year just so y'all will remember that I gay. If I don't do one gay show a year, the gay people gonna revoke my card and tell me I can't be one of them no more. I try to keep it down to one show a year, Texter man. Mr. Palmer, thank you for joining us all the way from Eleuthera. I'm so sorry we didn't get more in. We're supposed to talk about the crisis in France. We're supposed to talk about Biden's federal decision to relax the rules on marijuana, cannabis. Gotta go, Les. Okay. Gotta go.
We can do it next week.
Absolutely, no problem. Mr. Palmer. Thank you so much. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next. Thank you so much, Mr. Palmer.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Unequal gender nationality law is a violation of human rights and a failure of the government to meet its obligations. In 2018, the CEDAW committee told the Bahamas to set a clear time frame for constitutional reform, to integrate the principle of gender equality into all laws, and to amend the Bahamas Nationality Act 1973 for Bahamian women and men to transmit citizenship on an equal basis. Join Equality Bahamas in demanding action now. Visit tiny.cc/nationality for more.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.